This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Father, we give you all the praise. We submit to your Spirit that is at work in our lives. You are in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Thank you for this meeting is set so that we can come to that place of pleasure, of well-pleasing to you. We are grateful because you have raised your servant and your daughter as shepherds over these people, providing pasture, providing nurture, so that your people can stand perfect in all the will of God. We are grateful for this opportunity we ask that you take of us and bring blessing to your people. Come under the administration of the Spirit of God. We come under the administration of God's grace in the house that will minister and bring blessing to your people. Blessed be your name, O God, in Jesus' name. They're appointed to be a single once. And after that, so you better use it well. So it's one, so you will not have it again. And when you now cross to the other side, you now realize that there are some things you should have done before you cross to the other side. So you are in time, because God truly makes all things beautiful in his time. And we are here to just encourage you and share our joy and share our hearts with you to say God has great stuff for us. And I'm so glad in my spirit to see that with the direction in the house, I could see it's obviously a great direction. If we follow that direction, if you do these things, you will not lack. You will not fail. For so an entrance will be ministered unto you. So you're on the right path. So just a quick way to just say that we celebrate the grace that we enjoy in this house. God has blessed you with shepherds after his own heart, our senior pastor, our mama, and all the pastors. I appreciate all of you for all you are doing specifically. And you represent specific ministry gifts to feed God's people so that God's people can be established in the will of God. In Ephesians 4, he said, when he listed all the activities of ministering, he said that we be no more children being tossed to and fro. So one of the great things that God has done is in establishing growth for us or setting a pathway for growth is that he has given you shepherds that will feed you with knowledge and understanding. If you understand the principle of Ephesians chapter 4 and how God gave gifts to, he gave the ministry gifts and gave the apostles, the prophet, the teachers, the pastors, and the evangelists, those five gifts, you know that God has a program to perfect the saints, to establish God's people, to make them come into fullness, to make them grow and be rooted. Hallelujah. So it's in that light, I'm also going to just ride on that to say that the same way God has raised pastors, the ministry gifts, to build us up, to raise us up, to make us capable and really be rooted so that we're not children tossed to and fro, so that you can, it's not just one unilateral training that you are just growing and all you think is that you are spiritual, but it's a full-rounded training. It's a well-rounded training that God is giving you. So it's not just that when God is raising you as a spiritual person and giving root to you, you may, your mind will be thinking that, it's just what? That is a full, complete meal that God is giving you. And that meal will raise you up to have all capacities to be able to serve God. It will raise the full foundation for every part for you to live a full life that can serve God and do the will of God and live the life that will minister grace to you and to others even while you're on earth. So I'm saying that it's bringing completeness, the program of God to surround us with his gifts is to bring completeness to our lives. Ephesians chapter 4, the way God wants to develop your spirituality is the same way also God is raising, using these things to develop your full person, that you become complete as a child of God, as someone who truly the Lord will be proud to give you to a sister, to a brother.
God will give it to a brother and say, this is my daughter, take care of her for me. God will give a brother to you and say, this is my son, take care of her. But because you have what? You have understood the program of God's growth. So, but one of the very profound place of the wisdom of an apostolic grace is that apostolic grace have, they have the depth of God's wisdom. They have capacity to see the full picture. That's Paul calls it. Paul referred to him as a wise master builder. So they have the wisdom of God. They understand the priority. They understand the full program of God. And they can bring stability to God's program of growth for the body of Christ, right? So in the same way God can train you, and if you submit to God's program of training, you will go through a growth process that truly you will have capacity, you have wisdom, you have stability. So these are things that people think you are just following God, you are just doing church, 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 but you are acquiring so much capacities in various aspects of your life. You are acquiring wisdom, you are acquiring discernment, judgment. You are seeing, you can look and you can judge, not just out of natural thought process, but you have understanding. You have wisdom. That is the hallmark of growth. So when you truly are rooted, they will give you wisdom. So I'm trying to say that the same way they will use an apostle to minister to the body so that we can be growing, the same way when you truly acquire this nature, you will see these measures, antitypes of these apostolic operations in your individual life. So I'm saying that at the end of the day, you will be fully rounded. You will have the wisdom of God. You have capacity to do the will of God. And you will be a joy to God and a joy to people, your brethren, to the community, and to God. So let's stay on growth. So it is a profound part of our journey to grow. And the apostolic points to that part of that growth. Because when you truly grow, you resemble your Lord. The another part again is the prophetic or the prophet. The prophets are more like seers. They see into God's program. They see the prototype. They can tell it. But they are visionary. They can see. They have access to the word of the Lord. They can capture what God is trying to say. What that also provides is provides some perception or vision. So when you truly follow God, God will give you a clear understanding of his will for you. And when you look at life, you are not lost. God will give you a correct vision of life from a standpoint of his will. But if that is not there, everything becomes a vision for you. And anybody can quickly pick up and you can quickly drop one vision for another vision. So the prophetic it opens up that part. Because the truth of the matter is that as you follow God, if your vision is to please God, God will put visions, burdens. He will speak to your heart. He will give you images, clarity. Even in the natural, God will begin to visions in your heart. But just like he will not just leave it to just have scattered visions, he will refine it. Just like you have an apostolic grace that we always have to refine the prophetic grace and bring stability. In Ephesians 3, we're talking about built upon the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. So there's always a stability because the apostolic will refine and bring stability. So also, if we leave you, we run helter-skelter with what you think God has told you. That's why God needs to give you wisdom, stability, understanding, so that whatever you think God is telling you, you will have the correct head to come down and submit it to a growth process. So people have come and said, God said this, God did this, God did that. But at the end of the day, 5 years down the road, what they thought God, they heard God, is just a measure of understanding of what they thought God was saying to them. And another thing about vision is that your vision is truly your level of growth. You can't see beyond where you are engaging God. So even when it comes to making marital decisions, sometimes you are trying to say, this God spoke to me. If you grow better, sometimes you will see better. Very most likely, you will see more clearly because you'll be able to interpret what God is saying to you clearly. Sometimes God will just want to, okay, this is how far you want to go, and you stay there. This is what you want. Maybe sometimes based on the idols, that's what you are seeing. You are still God's child, but he will allow those visions to try because that is where you want to stay. But if you truly submit to a growth program, what will happen? You will truly, truly come to see, and you will be helped. Just like the prophetic gets help and stability from the apostolic, your growth will give balance to your vision. So tomorrow, somebody will not just come and you'll be swept away because somebody, you just saw a vision of somebody has sold something very fantastic to you. So I'm saying that as we journey, God will bring balance to your life and focus through all of this as you learn, as you choose to grow in God. Something again is, after prophets, you have evangelists. Evangelists are like very active I mean, they have capacity to break ground, to go evangel. You know what the evangelists can do now? They can take on places and all of that. One of these, as you begin to journey with God, God will incorporate strength into you to do the will of God. Evangelists have capacity to do. If God is putting a ball, let's go this way now. They have the energy. They're always on the move. They have energy to respond to God. I mean, in terms of bringing the message of salvation, even in these same waters of word of righteousness, there are evangelists that have the ability to bring people and bring them into the fold. So the evangelistic grace can be likened to like some action, capacity to act, to respond. In Joel, I was talking about a group, an army. He said, strong are they that do the will of God. So I'm trying to say that if we truly respond in our journey, in our response, in our growth process, we will not be laid back. We will not be unsure whether should I not. As God is speaking to you, you will have faith capacity to respond to God. I'm trying to say that end product of a growth process is a complete man. It's not that God is saying something to you and you cannot respond to it. It's not that God is saying you everything is sounding as there's a journey that is an integrated work. So when you think God is doing one, you think you are just hearing word, but that word is addressing every aspect. It's raising you as a capable being to be able to serve God. Every response of obedience to God is raising you as a man who can do. Do what? Do his will. It's giving you capacity to respond, to stand up and do get things done. So Christians who truly obey God and are rooted are not going to be lily-livered. Are not going to be spineless. They're going to have capacity. They're going to have strength. They're going to have grace to do the will of God, and it will be executed in real time as they face situations and time and challenges. Then talking about the pastor. Pastor, typically, you know what a pastor does. A pastor will minister to you. A pastor will tend, will nurture, will do all of that. Do you also know that as you truly grow, you have that capacity, you to truly be tender. You'll be able to really communicate. You go out of your way to minister to the brethren, to help. Of course, in marriage, very evident in marriage, you have to tend. Pastoral marriage has a face like a pastoral home environment. That marriage has that grace, and of course God will prepare you for that, and God will do it. Even when you get married, God will still use your marriage to train and refine you and give that capacity to tend, because it's not just tending. As you are tending your own children and raising them, you are learning to build a capacity for kingdom program, because you are truly going to be a tenderer. So what am I saying? God is going to use growth to raise you to become complete. He's not going to raise you that you are just one so-called, maybe spirit, koko, as the world like to say it. You are a complete child of God. You are a complete being. Another part of it, the last part, is the teachers. Teachers have ability to relate truth. They explain and they relate one truth to the other. You will also improve. You will grow in relationships. You will put value in your relationship to one another. You will see the value that relationships gives, and you have capacity to relate and develop your relationships, godly relationships. Truly, if you truly submit to a growth process, you'll be a balanced child of God. You will have growth, you have vision, you will not be swayed. That's why it said in verse 14 that says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So just to keep that background to say growth is good. It is a good program that will help you in every aspect of your life. It will give balance to you. It will give correct judgment. It will give you discernment. You, through interactions and growth, you will be able to build godly relationships with brethren, and even you have to manage relationships that God brings to your life, even relationships at work. You don't have to go to an special school to learn how to relate, because in training how to learn to relate with your brethren, God will teach you how to relate with people outside too. So following God closely as a child of God, does it make you mediocre? Does it make you laid back? Does it make you unable to carry capacity to see into God's program for your life and even beyond you? But God is going to use them to train you beyond yourself, so that you can serve his will at every facet of your growth process. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this to just establish that God has you in mind through your growth process. And if you go through the growth process correctly, you'll be a correct daughter, son, who will be well-rounded. Our growth program is consistent with God's program for our fullness. That's what I'm just trying to establish. So you are not just going to church and just reading Bible. You are not just one spirit coco. You are truly building an all-round capacity to serve God with your life. So relationship is a critical part of our growth process. You are growing when you are learning to understand how to relate better with God's people, how to relate better with one another. It's part of your growth. You are growing when you are learning how to begin to also understand God's burden for your heart about marriage. It's part of your growth. But it's not just the feeling, because your feeling wants it. It's more than feeling. And let me quickly say this, that by your feeling, you say, I want this now, maybe based on your history or based on what you have gone through. So let me just say my own story. Some years ago, I came from a failed marital experience, family experience. So the first thing, as I began to experience God through my school days, and I was coming out of the university, one thing I told myself that within 3 years after I leave school, I'm going to get married. Because what? I want to create that family experience that I've always been looking for. Is it wrong? I wanted that experience. But I now found out God's dealing. Eventually, I think I left school, maybe I was 20, what? I can't remember again. But it took almost 10 years after, before I eventually got married. So, and yet, in this case now, you say I'm the man. I'm the one that I can make a decision. It's easy. But when God is involved in your life, you now understand. So what am I trying to say? I had to make a transition from just my need to understanding God's need. My need says, I want to be married and settle down. I want to replicate. I want somebody I will love and take care of, or somebody I want to live just have my home for myself. And God is saying, for you, that is the first thing. So the next thing once I just get a job and I'm working, at least the money now, I'll just get married and all of that. And God says, okay, I'm watching you. It's not because God hates you. God is saying other things must happen before you get to that point. Because you can just marry and you are locked up into something that does not look like what God had in mind for you. Do you know what I mean by that? You are just doing something that looks like it. But after a while, some years down the road, you will truly look and you will feel frustrated. You will look like, this is not what I wanted. So God will not just throw you in and just give you according to your idols or based on what you call need. Now, this is what I need. Because to God, you need a wife, you need a husband, but you have to wait first because you have to align with the real need first. I have to train you first. Through about 10 years, when I said I was going to just be married in 3 years, I have to wait for it to come. Naturally, and they took the power to make the decision from me. Do you understand? Sometimes you think that because you're a man, you can just make decision. They will take the power from you because you try to make it, it's not going to happen. So sisters, don't think that the brothers, they can just decide that by themselves. Just let's all grow so that we can all align with God's program. It's not just that when I just go there, I can just make a decision. What is God saying? If you don't align with what God wants to do, you will waste a moment. And if you waste that season of your life, you will, until you get back to make that right turn, you will not get it. You will not be able to make that decision. And it's love. Yeah. So several years ago, a man of God met me and told me, I should not make a decision that so many years down the road, I will feel like I'll be feeling sorry for myself that this is not where I wanted to be. Because I was going to make a decision. And what did that tell me? It made me know that I have to wait for it. And in waiting for it, there have to be a shift. Because everything, that's why we're talking about vision. What you call vision, what you think is vision, has to go through a process where you truly can see the Lord. Otherwise, if you don't see the Lord and define what the Lord truly wants for you, every other thing looks like it. Every other thing looks like that's what God is saying. That's what God is saying. But you now need to refine what God is saying. And that is where your growth is important. So we came through a process. Interestingly, my wife, she was always around. But how come he dropped in my spirit, but somewhere something did not allow it to sit. And it took a journey round before I could not see her. And when I saw it, I needed to be schooled together so that I can accept what God. Because my natural mind was still active in some things. I was like, this looks like, but this, and it's my wife, she's not looking beautiful now. So I say that to say that even when you are going to make some decisions, you have to have an eye of the spirit. You have to be visionary in the spirit. If you don't have those eyes, be ready to be helped. God can raise people, servants to help you to develop those eyes. Because by your own judgment, you might think you are seen, but you might not be seen. Last year, we did 15 years, and I'm looking at our pictures, my wife before we married, and I've done today. I cannot call. My wife is 100 times more beautiful than that time. So when you define by today, by the immediate, you will lose out. Is she not looking beautiful now? So that I'm saying that you have to grow through a growth process and align with God. And that is what all of these things, when they are talking about all these five ministries that I tried to explain, it will give you eyes of the Spirit. It will give you visionary eyes. It will give you discernment. Then you can establish, you can truly follow God when God is saying something. Even if it doesn't look like it, you will be able to respond. There will be faith to respond.
Okay, so we're just going to keep building on it. And I just want to just, I know there's so much emphasis on growth, on growing down, taking roots down. And it's so important. So I just want to like give a natural analogy on it. You know, one thing I discover is that actually what happens naturally to us is like a mirror to the real thing. I don't know whether we noticed it before, whether it's planting, whether it's the way we go to school, whether it's our normal house. Everything naturally is actually talking to a deeper thing. Then we'll see that our children at home, some of us are married with our children, as they are, you can't give them so much responsibility because of their level, because of their growth. You might be looking at them as a parent. You have so much in store for them because of their capability. You have seen the way they are growing. You see, some might be so caring, some so brilliant. You are seeing more. That's the way God sees. And you know, God is our creator. He actually seen our hand, even from the beginning. So he is the one that is seeing a lot of things. That's why I use we as parents. We are looking at our children. Your daughter or your son cannot tell you, I know exactly what is good for me. Daddy, you are going too far. No, this one I'm not going to do. Let me sleep and wake up at my time. You know, but we are looking at, even as we have, we are also narrow. But then, as parents, we still have that higher authority over them. So that's why at times you put your child under some discipline. Not because you hate the child, but because you are seeing something. You want to help out. So that's how God is. Because I know that there are times Satan can just be making us feel weary that all this growth is something that we have always been hearing. So what is so? Am I not growing? Am I fighting people? Am I not growing? You know, because at times I know Satan can keep telling us that, what about it? You know, God is seeing the big picture. We are not seeing it. And we cannot narrow him that, okay, can you not see that I'm going? This is it. It's bigger than that. That's why I came through the point of parents making decisions for their children or insisting on something because they are seeing a bigger picture. But God is seeing much more. So we might think that, oh, I think I've learned enough. I think I've grown enough. But we don't even know the full picture first. And so God will not stop at anything to give us the best. So this is just to encourage us that at times it looks as if some things are lingering. It looks as if, I've learned these things, I've done this, what else? What else am I supposed to do? God is seeing the bigger picture we are not seeing. And when it's time, he knows when to change the narrative. He knows when. He knows when we are fully done. So one thing that will encourage us is that let's not be agitated. Let's not be too tense or too anxious of finishing the program. One thing we know is that God's plan for us is the best. And he has everybody in mind. In fact, one thing I begin to understand lately is that, as Pastor also said it, that twins, you see twins, they are actually born the same day. Maybe just 1 minute, 2 seconds difference. But they have different destiny. Because God is so unique that he can give this one if you decide not to give this one. Because at times, you know, that's what causes, is it competition or you feel jealous? Why is this happening to this one? We are even the same age mates. We are exposed to the same environment. We attend the same church. Why is this thing happening to this one? Why is it not happening to me? I find out that I just have to accept. You know, there's a way God wants to take pleasure in everybody. It's a unique thing. The way God wants to take pleasure in me is different from the way God wants to take pleasure in my husband. And he doesn't want us to box him. Well, that's what I see. Because when we keep complaining and saying that, see this person, why? All my age mates, they are married. They did not even grow. Do we not have that conversation in our hearts? Which one is grow that we are not talking about? This one says, what does he know? He was just a born-again Christian. That's all. He was not even exposed to all these plenty things. And they are doing well. So which one is my own? But you know, that's why I said the best way to be is that let's not compare ourselves. The Bible even says, he that compare himself, we are not wise. The way God wants to derive pleasure in us is in a different way. That's why he didn't make us the same. That's why we even say twins, that they are even born almost the same way. And you see some people have a wrong judgment. If something happens to their twins and it doesn't happen to them, some will even die. I even learned that somebody, if one is sick, the other one must be sick. It's just a mindset. Because you are different. You are different. Some, the day one gets married, that other one must. So, you know, but if we know that our lives are in his hands and the way he made us is unique, we'll be able to follow through the process. So he's seeing a bigger picture. Maybe in some years' time, you never even dreamt of it. You might be a mommy Gio. Based on the training. So, you know, the training will be harder. Will be wider. You can imagine, you know, our mommy now, our grandmommy, we always hear her testimony. It was not just a shallow thing. Because you can see the weight of all of us she's carrying now. She won't be able to carry it. But when she was going through those processes, it looked as if God was hard. Because some other people got it in a softer way. So, but that does not mean God does not have a plan for them. That's why I said the way God wants to derive pleasure in everybody is different. So maybe it's another way God will focus on. But I want us to always allow God. He actually made us, and he can decide anything on any one of us. So I just want to just add to that.
So we're looking further into some of the issues that spiritual maturity and being equally yoked. Is it just about, of course, the Bible says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So it has always been a burden to young people and to God's people, like, okay, does it mean that the person must fully align with me in every area of life? The person must go to the same church. The person must be Jim like me. But the person is also a Christian. And of course, it is. But one of the things that you need to be able to understand is that yoke speaks of some level of partnership. It speaks to fellowship. So you cannot just jump into something. When Jesus said, learn of me, take my yoke upon you. He was speaking to learning. So it's not just enough to say the person is a believer. The person goes to church. The person speaks. The person understands it. It is the person willing to commit to the fellowship of the life that is in God. Is he willing to commit to it? If the person is not willing, are you able to take through a process where you can take time to learn? And our pastor said something about waiting. Sometimes you have to be willing to wait for a while and prove it true. Because the person sometimes, somebody looks like it. It's not it. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 20, is it verse 21? It said, an inheritance may be hastily gotten, but the end thereof may not be blessed. When it comes to getting it right, you don't have to let haste drive you. Haste
What is it? That's why sometimes when your pastor will tell you, wait. You are not just waiting, today you'll be looking. You are waiting. They tell you should wait. You go round, round, round. You look for another reason to come. Pastor, that one you said, she has ticked that box already. She's not. Then you come back again. Pastor told you, you go round and round again. You look for one reason again. You try to get him to the point where he will say, okay, antique, good for you. Go ahead. Pastor does not hate you. Pastor wants you to get it right. Pastor is not insisting that until you must marry one of my sons. Pastor is not putting you under that pressure, but pastor wants you to get it right. Because you get it today, you have to look. See, marriage is not 5 years. Marriage is not 10 years. And within a short time, it will begin to show whether truly you made the right decision. So don't wait to get into that net. There are people who saw a brother and they said, this brother is nice, so this brother is okay. So, not a problem, but be willing for it to be proved. Were you willing for it to be proved? So when you talk about equally yoked, does the person bear the same commitment to the way of the Lord? The journey you want to make, particularly sisters, they fall into that in some time. When they now make that decision to somebody, when they now get into a relationship, they are caged. They cannot even let them, they will not respond. So you are a sojourner in the spirit, unless you are not a sojourner. And you must look out for a sojourner. The person may not know as much, even as you know, but the person willing to journey with God. There are nothing again in some other area like shared values and beliefs. Even how does the person value the kingdom issues? Is it okay? Is it okay because the person is speaking in tongues? Is it that enough? Then do you take time to ask the person? Let the person, if someone is coming, just the person is okay, is okay. Ask the person, ask about the journey. Engage the person to tell you his spiritual journey. How have you journeyed? What are the decisions you have made? Hear how God has interrupted him in his journey. Then you will not know how has he, when it was painful, it was hard to make it, when he needed to have his way, and he could not have his way. And who are the people he's responsible and submitted to? Who can help, can talk him to sit down, and he will be able to sit down? He will not be overwhelmed by, is my vision. Because a heart who has truly grown knows how to submit to the will of God. So you see what I'm saying, that it's more than the fact that I can say I am spiritual. I can judge all things. I know what to do. I know God's plans for me. You need the oversight of your pastor. You even need your brethren. Sometimes another thing some people do, they keep it under wrap. They don't want to. Nobody should know until it comes as a surprise. So that, are you the one that, are you the lucky sister? Are you the lucky brother? Ha! It's a lifelong destiny issue. You don't need that kind of, you're not trying to make an impression. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Nobody should predict where you are headed until you are fully landed. And they will say, wow. Wow. It is not that, right? So submit yourself to one another in the fear of the Lord. Let your friends, your brethren who share the same values with you be able to look into it and ask you, have you checked this thing? Have you checked this? Let them be able to critique it. Let them be able to ask you questions. And you can, if you cannot answer, be sincere enough that I don't know. Another thing again is that, that's why you need to be in touch with your spirit. Train your spirit to be in touch with us, because I found out that many people don't get in touch with their spirit when that decision is going to be made. You have journeyed with God, but something just comes, either because the emotions have taken over at that point, because the person ticks all the boxes that you have set, you are not able to now submit it to further scrutiny. Do you understand what I mean? So, it's not because nobody hates, we want you to get it right. There have been cases of people who argued and thought or tried to validate and say, this is God, and look for everything to get the pastor to agree that it was God. But 5 years down the road, or even 3 years, it's showing. When anytime you say you want to, particularly if it's not in the same, how does the person treat your leadership? If the person is always pointing you to the faults of the leadership, that one will never be submitted to God. He will never be submitted to God. So, And how does he, the issue of respect for spiritual leaders, respect for one another. If the person does not really have value, if the person is profane, don't sweep it about under the carpet. Talk about it. That's why we say we should grow well. Because as you grow, God will figure out, will address every area of all these issues. He will train you well and you will see it. It's not just enough to say you are not married and unbearable. It's more than that. It's the person carrying the same seed of destiny, the same dispensation of grace that you are carrying. Dispensation of grace does not necessarily mean that the person fully understands all that God is saying. But if God puts a halt to the person, will he be willing to halt? So you need to check yourself and check yourself against how God has dealt with you. And also whether if God wants to stay, if God says no, not now, don't take your pastor's saying wait for granted. Sometimes pastors are careful these days because they don't even want to. When they see where you are headed, they see where your face, the way the Lord Jesus' face was set towards Jerusalem, your face is already set. You know where you are headed. So when they look at your face like this, they just take their hands off. But don't get yourself to that state. Because if your pastor cannot speak plainly to you, you will make a decision and you will live with your decision. So being equally yoked is a call to a greater fellowship. Is a lifelong fellowship in God. We have never fully understood fellowship. We are still learning fellowship. And if you get to a relationship, those who are married know that you wake up, you don't feel like you are in it. You are not happy. You have to get yourself happy because it's not feeling. You have to get yourself and marriage trains your heart to become committed to it. Because you must get it right. You must please God. Even the people of the world say that don't rush into marriage. They naturally say it. If you rush into marriage, one of my cousins is not a believer. If you rush in, you rush out. People of the world say it. So you who are a believer, you have journeyed with God, are you going to take that journey for granted? I'm just trying to say that it's not enough, fellow yoke servant or yoke fellow, because you are all sitting together. Let the process reveal itself. Give it time. Let time prove that truly the person can respond to God.
Another thing I wanted to just chip in with what my husband said is that, you know, we are all Christians feeding under the same umbrella, the focus of everyone is growth and all that. Okay, so that if that's the case, then every brother should be able to marry any sister here. Because we are all feeding together, we are hearing the same thing. But you know, as I said before, we don't really know ourselves. We don't know who can really, really be there for us when it's down. Because of our personality, we are unique. So God knows the right person for us. Because I know that there also can be an issue where our eye is on a sister here in church. And pastor is feeling no is another sister. You know? So that we will not feel confused and say, I will not hear the same thing. I will not grow in. It's not just that. There is more to it. That even the shepherd over us, you know, will be able to guide and see what we are not seeing. Because one thing that is also very strong in marriage choices is our emotions. Our emotions can really becloud us. We will just be making a very wrong decision. Because we have allowed, that's why I think Mama said it too, we should allow our hearts to make the judgment. There are some things we already seeing red flag, but we don't even have the energy to reverse. Yes, because of the other good things that we are seeing. And we just want to, we now encourage ourselves that we can cope. That after all, is the same message we are hearing. That's why we have oversight. We might be looking at one eye here, whereas it's not. So we should be able to listen to our pastors for direction. Because they are not for anybody. It's for God. They are for God. So they are able to make judgments without any emotions. So one of the questions we also want to treat is, what are the foundations we need practically? I know we've dealt so much on spiritual preparation, growth. What are the practical things we need, you know, that will also help us? I know one basic thing that we also know, we need to, before marriage is even coming to us, we have to make ourselves vulnerable to learn. The practical way is to make ourselves learn. We can look for people we can, because people that are married, they really know what it is. Especially you are working, you have children, babies you are taking care of, you take care of your husband, you come to church all by one person. It's a lot and it's demanding. And so, you know, like one, my mama said, you know, the way the world is raising human being now, we are so light, fickle. We can't bear different pressure. No. So, but when, as we are looking at marriage in focus, we can measure assignment for ourselves. Exercise. Let me go and help or stay with this sister or let me assist. Ah, they coping. She's pregnant. She's carrying baby. She's cooking. She's this. How do I? So that from there, grace can even come. You know, because at times it's easier when we are saying. But the practical aspect of it, you know, for everybody that is married, they know that it's not as easy as there are times that all the butterfly, everything will just fly. You won't, no. you know, you can easily see more butterfly when you are cutting, because no much responsibilities. It's just you go to your house, I go to my house. We can afford to gist 24 hours. But when demands, real practical aspect comes, work is here, this one is disturbing me, this one is this, how to cope and yet stay good and still stay faithful and strong. That is where you need that practicability. You need to go and learn. Then another thing is that we should also make ourselves friendly, naturally. Some, I know we have different temperaments, some are naturally quiet. So some people are naturally quiet that they don't really make friends. They wait for others to come and meet them. But one thing I believe, everything is mind though. There's nothing, it doesn't matter that you have always been like that for the past 10 years. You can actually tell yourself that I can make friends. I can make friends. I don't have to wait for somebody to come and meet me. It's just the mind. It's not like, you may not be able to do it like people that are already used to it, but you can actually, because if you want to be found, you have to also make yourself available, friendly. You have to come out. So if we are always on to our corner, our shell, we are just on our own, it's more difficult. I mean, it can be more harder, but we must learn to be friendly. Even if we are not really the talking type, there's a way you maybe just go to someone that needs help. You know, you can just start, you know, friendship starts from conversation gradually. You just try to help the person in the midst of it. Because the fact is that there is nobody that cannot talk. No, that one is there. Forget it. Somebody can be very quiet, very reserved. If you go to either the person's house or amidst the person's friend, carcass, he will talk. It's just that he's not a natural person that everywhere he talks. There's nobody that cannot express himself. There is nobody. Because if you are not friendly, number one, you will not be attracted to people. You are not going to be attracted. You know, I'm not even talking of physical attraction, but, you know, his help, his care. Yes, care. That brings people to you. So we need to come out of our shell. Nobody should say, I don't talk. I can't talk much. I can't sustain conversation. No, everybody can. That's why I said, it comes from the mind. If we know I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Friendship is important because even when you get married, you have to be friendly with your in-laws. They cannot come to your house. They have come to visit you now. You are looking at them, they are looking at you. They will just make a very wrong judgment. This wife is proud. She doesn't want us in their house. She's this, she's that. Then nobody's going to hear excuse that I don't like gisting. Nobody. Or maybe your husband's colleague. You know, marriage itself brings you out. If you are always on your own, doing your things by yourself, marriage is one of the things that will just bring you out. Bring you out because people, through marriage is a blessing. Many things surround marriage. When your children start coming, you still need to relate with the teachers, your children's teacher, your friends, your husband's friend, your husband's colleague. You must be able to. It's not just about the talking, but there's a way you can be friendly. So I think I'm done.
Thank you. Well, great. Hallelujah. So relationship is learning how to build relationships is important. I said something earlier. If God is truly go through a growth process, you will develop that capacity to be able to relate with people. One of the things you need to do is be able to overcome that feeling that you have nothing to offer. Don't be the one that is always taking care. Be willing to give care. Be willing to give attention. Be willing to go out of your way. Be sacrificial. Be willing to improve so that you can even do an update of your relationships. Am I really there for this, my friends, my brethren? Am I there? Crucial as I need to be. Do some audit on your own relationships, your existing relationships. Am I doing as much as I need to do? Is there something I'm not doing right? Do some audit. We're not talking about being friendly because you just want to be strategic to get something out. No. You are building a lifestyle of relationships. Because as somebody said, as you grow, your relationships also grow. It's not necessarily because of marriage, you know, that's why you're going to develop relationships. It's only one person you will marry now. Once you have married, is the door. Are you not going to keep relating with brethren? Are you not going to keep relationships? But develop that capacity to relate, to be friendly. Say, if there will be have friends, must first show himself friendly. It doesn't hurt. It might be difficult at some point, but by the time you now begin to step out of your and think that you are, another thing again is that don't be too self-absorbed. What is he going to think now? He will do this. He will think me. Don't be leave that one. Just think that there's something. When you step out of your own shell and respond to someone, you might be responding to a need that you unconsciously don't even know that the need is there. By just conversation, most times, even though as God leads, sometimes you might not truly see the need until you make proper response and be involved with people's lives. This is not specific to marriage, but to say that you need to build healthy, godly relationships. Be more interested in being a blessing to people. Be interested in being out there to be a blessing. Be interested in reaching out to support. Be interested in being able to speak. Step out of your comfort zone and your shell. I also wanted to speak to being purposeful. Purpose is not the one that makes you gain a sense of perception of what you want. What you think God wants you to become. Purpose is that training that gives you a capacity to see God and clarify your thought process about how you can respond to God and His program per time. But sometimes people think that they've understood purpose and they have better understanding, they cancel out moments of favor and opportunity that God brings their way. Because in those days they say if you are not going in the same direction, the person is not relevant. Ask the person out. No, purpose is... So the understanding of purpose is critical. When you understand purpose, we're talking about vision. The reason why you will not just submit to, you will not just make the decision hastily is because purpose will not be standing at the top of your heart. It will be at the front of your heart. Purpose is key. And purpose also, there's what you call sincerity of purpose. What is center of purpose? Center of purpose is that capacity to say, whatever I'm trying to, my thoughts, my understanding about what God, my involvement with God, is not just for a short haul. I'm able to assess my heart. I'm able to judge myself. I'm able to have an honest conversation with myself. So your own self be true. Say you desire truth in the inward part. Be sincere enough with yourself when you may want to make decisions or when you talk about your relationships. Don't just jump into how it feels for you. Don't just jump into taking an opportunity. Who truly, truly is the person who is ready for marriage? Is it the one who has a full flat set? He has a car? He has everything?
Is it the one that is ready? He may be ready because, and what you as a sister, you are seeing the opportunity. But the opportunity, that is not itself the opportunity. Because you can step into that zone and all the things you saw, it will not mean anything to you again. The frustration and the disappointment of the person will make all of those things fizzle and you will not even see them. Because one of the things is that, and God help you as a man. God is focusing on yourself. God wants to train you to be selfless. Sometimes in relationships, you find that men are in their mind, they think that once you are nice, I can give you, okay, what do you need? I can give you this. I can give you that. I can hand this. I can give you this. I can give you that. You are okay. But a woman doesn't want just, I'm talking to brothers. A woman wants you. A woman wants you. So, throw money. You buy things. You do a lot. And you are feeling like I'm doing so much, yet she's not appreciated. No, you are using that one as a facade to cover the real yourself that you need to give. You need to learn how to give. And sometimes giving yourself is not really what you have the most that really trains you to give. You have not learned it. Don't let money blind your perception or that down because you think you are a Libra. Let God put his searchlight on other areas of your life where you can truly be a giver. So that you truly will be raised as selfless as God wants us to be. I've seen relationships where the man can, when he counts his own assessment, I've done this, I have ticked, and he will tick himself that he has given himself a pass mark. So he cannot understand why the wife is complaining. Because in his judgment, he thinks he has given his best. Why? Because he thinks that which he has given is sufficient. Meanwhile, he has used it as a facade or a more convenient pathway to quickly excuse himself from that demand upon the soul to give himself. It's more easy to give things than to give yourself. So the burden of trying to lay down your lives for God's people is training you to be so selfless so that if God puts his hands on this place today, you will not run away. You will be able to accept. If God puts his hand on this side, you will not find a way to justify your sacrifice and say as giving you a score, a pass mark. You'll be able to go through the full process of truly becoming a loyal child of God that God can truly trust and say, you truly can marry my daughter. You can take care of this, my daughter, for me. For sisters too, some of us, we like our space. You like spiritual brothers, but you cannot stand. But when the spirituality now looks like this, looks like ministry. That is not what you are. You have put a stud. You have defined the boundaries of how much God should take, what God can take from you. I like it, but I don't want the pastor. God is not just, it's not the title or the, if God is truly training you, be willing to submit to a program of God's training. But if you say you are not ready to go all the way, of course, it's not everybody that have to take, of course, the burden the pastors bear is much more. But if you don't want to go through that process, then also don't necessarily insist that it must be the spiritual, because the spiritual God has a program for them. God is not marrying, he's not giving it to them for your self-interest. He's thinking about a bigger program. And you need to see that program. Don't see yourself as the end of the program that God wants to use. That does not mean the brothers, they will learn to be more, they will learn to balance and give more attention and be available. But if your idea is, my husband is for me and for me alone, then you have also put a limitation of how God can take you through the kind of, if those idols are not dealt with, sometimes you'll be wondering, you are praying for the spiritual people, you have even received them in your heart, but God is not letting it go through. You like spiritual people, you like them, but God cannot trust you with them. God cannot trust you with them. Because Paul was writing, say, Corinthians, he said, you are straightened in your bowels, you are not enlarged. So one of the things God will do with us is that God will enlarge our bowels so that we can see beyond ourselves. Because ultimately, God's program is that it's not just about yourself. He will take care of you, but let him run the show.
Okay, there's another question I want to look at here. How do I discern readiness beyond emotions and physical attraction? How am I going to be sure I'm ready? You know, for a man, it might look as if it's easy. When you are ready, you are ready. You start looking. You know? But, of course, as we said, there are things that needs to be, even for a man, there are a lot. There are a lot of, baby man now. No, it's true. Because one of the core things that makes you to know is maturity. Ability to endure. You know, women, we have a lot of tantrums and a lot of things we do. But ability for a man to stand, to forbear. No, this fruit of the spirit, yes. We'll see it coming to real practical times in marriage. Ability to endure. So even when we say we are ready, how much of endurance or how much of selflessness do we have? This can be like a yardstick that we can use, even for a man. You know, it's not just about the fact that I'm the one that needs to move. I have my money. I'm the one that needs to go and search for the sister. But how much selflessness have I gotten? And you know, most of these things we can get it through our natural everyday life.
Yeah.
That's why we acquire it. That's why God, at times, we specifically orchestrate some relationship or some scenarios for us. Because he wants us to get some things, even for a man. So I'm talking for a man now because at times, you know, when we say, what else do I need when I'm already emotional, apart from emotionally being ready, you know, and I have money, I have the box, I'm working well. So what else? Maturity is key. And we can always test our maturity as a man. Because a woman at times can really... Some men will say their wife are run them crazy. Because they now find out that they don't even have the stamina to take some things. You know, when it really comes. But these things, you can grow into it. So it's not like... So these are the things we need to check. Those fruits of the spirit, they are practical things. Ability to endure. One of it is also selflessness, like my husband said. Somebody gave an analogy one time. He said, an indicator to know whether you are selfish is when they give you a picture, a group picture where many people are, you are there. When you have a group picture, who is the first person you are looking out to go and see? I've heard that before. And even me, I'm conscious. You know, when you have a group picture that you are there, you know, naturally you are looking for yourself first. It shows that naturally human beings, we are more aware of ourselves. But marriage will teach us to be selfless. And we might also think that, I can easily give out. Me, I'm this. It's not that difficult for me. But it's more. Like my husband is saying, you know, some things is easy. We are easy to part with it. Maybe because of our training. Some people can easily, they can cut their head and give you. They are so selfless like that. For some, their time. No. That's the one that is the key. That's their repest. Time? No. And you know, a woman in marriage, a woman can actually waste your time. I'm sorry to say that. No, it's true. Because
correct.
A man... is let me explain. You know, a man is logical, naturally. You know what you want to do, and you go for it, you do it. A woman will dance around, you know, dance around, waste all the time. Maybe you have said, okay, I have 10 minutes for you. Yeah, see what you want to say. Sorry. Even the way we talk, we first of all do preamble. We'll do demonstration. Am I saying the truth? Naturally. So it's like men, God gave you to us so that you can learn patience.
Hallelujah.
We can take time. We can learn patience. So men will just be furious and be, but some have learned it. Just relax. It's part of the training.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, because of time, so you can.
Hallelujah. They say we have some questions, right?
Sorry. There's one that I feel it's more pressing. Said, I believe I possess all these qualities we have mentioned. No. Let's just be.
Give it to them. I mean, it's a fair assessment.
No, it's possible. It's actually possible. Because as you are learning now, are you not working towards it? Uh-huh. So it's actually possible. So I feel this question is more. So I believe I possess all the qualities of being marriageable, but I'm still not married.
Okay.
So what do you think I should do?
Praise the Lord. True, there are cases like that when you truly possess all the qualities. And possessing qualities does not mean that you are trying to say, I mean, you know you are on a journey and you can see that you are making progress, you are responding. Sometimes it's not really that you are not ready or you have not really been journeying. Sometimes you have been following God all along. Sometimes there are seasons in God and it takes time to come around. A cycle needs to come around because, of course, it doesn't mean that God has destined that it must be only one person. But based on his unique calling and his unique program, it might be not many people that fit into that program. It may be, yes. Somebody said one time ago, say God does not predestinate people. He predestinates purpose. So, but when people respond to God in obedience in a certain way, they put themselves into that bucket where God will have to use them for certain things. And so at that point, it may not just be anything and everything. Everybody may not fit into that definition. So sometimes you need to just be able to understand how God has dealt with you. It would have been easier to say, this one is a believer, this one is a believer. But that's why you need to be in touch with your spirit. Because sometimes God may have put some deep burdens in your heart that you might need to be able to submit to a process for it to totally respond and get into that. And sometimes maybe his own servant that God is raising or his daughter is not exactly in that place. Either by dealing or by heart response or by even location. It may not be there. The person may not be there. Sometimes it might take some process for that journey to make a complete circle and you now meet each other. In God's dealing, God can allow you to. But in some cases when God is saying no, be sure that's why you need to be in tune with your spirit. It's not because there are idols in your heart. You have to be sincere. It's not because I think about our mommy Helen. She had believers, godly people who were coming, but she was not. Every time she wanted it, but something was saying, no, this is not it. Was she taking a serious risk on herself? Yes, but it's worth the wait, you will say. If you look at mommy today, you say it's worth the wait, right? Because if she did not wait for it, she might get to something and she might be so frustrated. Not because, or maybe the man feels that your own is too much. This is not what I wanted. And that will become a fundamental issue. Because let me tell you something, brothers. As our sisters, as you see them, as they have five very fine pieces, you want to marry a beautiful sister. When you get married to them, if the burdens of God are in their heart and you cannot satisfy it, you'll be feeling frustrated in yourself. Because you'll be wondering, you are doing everything you think you know how to do, but you are not able to. Not because they hate you, but there's a cry that is not letting them rest. Something is calling for something in their soul because of the journey they walked with God. It's either you truly take a position where you will take a growth process and respond, but if you get frustrated and you think that the woman and you now and think that the woman is also, so that people get into those modes where they struggle a lot, and God does not want us to get to relationships where we begin to struggle. There needs to be an upward journey into God. But that journey needs our response of obedience and faith. That's why, like I said, marry a sojourner. And if the burdens of God in your heart are so strong, the more reason you need to take time to process it. That does not mean that you are, some people think that you are being selective. No. Be able to get the confirmation, get support, get the understanding of your pastor. If you are not talking to your pastor cannot feel your spirit, and your pastor cannot really know that this thing is from your spirit, then that means you have not engaged your pastor properly. Do you understand? But if your pastor sees it, there are cases that people have not shown sign of it, they look like it, and they pray about it, and God says, this one, wait for it. Your pastor will tell you, your pastor will not force you to change your mind. Your pastor will ask you. Like I had one friend, she said she had somebody in her heart. And I talked with her and I encouraged her and I said, this person is, if you are not sure this is the person, why not you open up your heart to somebody else? If the person doesn't even think you are, just open up your heart. Maybe, I was trying to, but perhaps, if the person was going to make that transition quickly by herself and just shift to somebody else, she might miss it. But in the process, she had to go through a process where that face had to now wane from her. And she now was able to now see another season when somebody else showed up and said, I could identify this is the one. Or even in some cases, you may not even know. You have leadership or your pastor might even help to point someone in your direction. When they point to your direction, they are not deciding for you. Just take your time to pray through it. Wait about it. It's not because they want you to marry somebody who is in their caucus. Just because sometimes the pastors can pick the gravity of God's grace that you carry. And they are also careful because they are administering, they have oversight with a sense that they have they are under shepherds to the Lord. So they are handling you not just because you are just a sister, but you have a destiny connection with God. So you should understand. So the best way is when you go through those moments, when it looks like you are fully ready and everything is not responding, be able to be open enough to respond to. Sometimes your pastors will help you interpret your seasons better. They can stay in the place where they will help you interpret your seasons. Sometimes they can say, wait. If they say, wait, or they can tell you, okay, go and pray about this thing again. Or they'll say, all those disciplines is going to put your soul in a state where you will be able to catch the next moment of God when God shows up.
Okay, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Let's give it up for our pastors. They have blessed us powerfully. We'll just look if we have one or two questions. Because of time, we'll just take maybe one or two. So if you have a question in the house, just signify. So we'll just take a number then. All right, I think we'll just take that one and we'll call it a day.
Thank you very much for the session. So I think my question is, how does one balance the desire for marriage with wanting purpose? I'm really trying to find the balance in my head as I was listening to all that was said, in saying that, oh, okay, somewhere you're saying don't be too focused on wanting to get married and focus on purpose. Then don't also cancel the idea of marriage in your mind. And I'm like, how do you do that? Because if I'm thinking marriage, it's only natural that desire would sometimes override wanting purpose. And sometimes you're thinking purpose, you can be a bit too extreme in your thoughts, you know, like as a person. So how does one balance having all of these thoughts in one mind and thinking about them and basically going through life and taking decisions on the go? Because these decisions will be made, you know, as I went you, because you're talking about seasons. So you're probably like in the season of marriage now, and these thoughts are coming to your mind. But you don't also want to dwell too much on them, because sometimes thinking about them or even praying about them can affect you. Sometimes even something as basic as listening to a message can create thoughts in your mind. And it's not supposed to be, right? But how do you have that balance in your thoughts? Because my challenge is not so much about expressing it externally. It's about my mind. I need my mind to not feel overwhelmed with so many levels of information and still be able to balance it in my head. So I don't know. Can you give an advice on how that can happen?
All right. Praise the Lord. So the issue of, we are natural people and we cannot deny that we are not natural people. We have feelings. We have desires that are And sometimes desires can come and fill our space, our minds. So it's normal. But as you yield your mind, your emotions to God, sometimes God will deal with you in a way where you'll be able to, even though you desire it, not because God does not see them as valid things that we need to do or no, we need to focus on. He wants to take us from the point where you see it, but you're not seeing it an end in itself. Because if you are sincere, there's a way somebody just shows up in your life that within, you have a full picture just shows up, a complete picture. Everything just adds up and everything looks like it's all complete, it's all headed. This is what you are looking, everything looks like it. And I suppose if you are not careful, you are begging God, God, please, let's accept, let it be this one. Because it looks like everything has, you are just hope that this is God just, or everybody who is involved, let it just be this. So there's still an element of self that is in the process that God also wants to deal with. Not because God hates you, but because there's yourself is still intertwined. So what would be, Jesus said something. They say for a man to seek his own glory is no glory, as in Luke, but to seek the glory of him that sent him. So there's always a training by God to subordinate what is important to a bigger. So it was Jesus said it in the context of saying, if you speak of yourself, you are seeking your own glory. But if you seek the glory of him that sent you, then you are true and no unrighteousness is in you. So ultimately, God wants to use your feelings and your emotions and desires. He wants to work righteousness in that part of your life. So it's not that God truly hates you, but God wants you to be able to see that in God's scheme, you truly understand his priority. God will train your heart to the place where you can hold his priority. Because sometimes if you are not careful, when these things show up, sometimes you are ready to give up one for the other. Right? There are moments when it shows up. Even when it doesn't look like it, you can almost explain it away and say, this looks like it. This, at least I've tried. This is okay. I've waited. But sometimes, interestingly, all the things that you desired, God might still give you in one full package. But he will not give you to your lust. Yeah, no, God will not give you in the way that you wanted it. You may even not know that some of those things are there because at the time when you are trying to, because some at that time, maybe it's only one thing that strikes you. Before, you will have to list 10 things. And if it doesn't meet 10 things, it doesn't qualify. But now, once your heart and you see the whole thing at your heart, the emotions part spends so much time building images around so many requirements. This is this, this have to this, this have to this. And in your mind, you are thinking already, God help you, you're also thinking of how he fits into your circle of friends. This, she meets the expectation that when your friends meet him, or this, I mean, consciously these things just keep popping up. Because the moment, the human being is like a machine. When somebody shows up in your life like this, a lot of things are all, different things are showing up. You're checking about your parents' perception. You're checking about your friends. You're checking about your colleagues. You're checking about the future. So many things are all popping up in your mind, and you are using that to build an image of what. If you're not careful, your emotions have run so far with that desire before you will now call yourself back. That process, it puts a strain on the soul. Sometimes God will even allow it to fizzle out. So that emotion can settle, then you now. Sometimes, and if you don't get to the, even if the person is the right person, sometimes God has to speak to you and take your heart from that emotional lock. Because if you get to that emotional lock, you will not see something that God wants you to see. But does it mean that God cannot satisfy all our needs in a somebody reveals? Like I said, you can meet the person and all the things you have always desired will be there. But at that time, you may not even be seeing all of those things. It's sometimes down the road, you will not see it. But even when you see it, you will not focus on it for your selfish gain anymore, for yourself. You will see how that serves a bigger purpose. That's why if you truly grow, let's take a case now in the body of Christ. Everybody's preaching. There's so much messages that are around. And sometimes people are tempted to think that one man of God is as It's almost the same. All of them are men of God. They all have different anointing and different specialty, if you say that, if you like me to say specialization or specialty or focus. But you take a journey of walking with God for you to know that it's not just about my own is this one, my own is this one, my own is this. It's a growth. And that's one of the things that God does by elevating the apostolic ministry, so that God uses by wisdom to give you, so that you can understand what truly is God's priority. It's not that you, it's not a mental ascent to what is God's priority. It will work out in your heart. So every other thing has to subordinate to that priority. Even when you see money, we are talking about relationships now. Even money, when you see money, there's a way some emotions can just all it will go all over your ideas. Every idea is just running or popping up. God will train you in a way that you will be able to subordinate all of that and bring it in subjection to a higher dealing of God's priority. And that is the program that God wants. That does not mean that God will wait for you to have a perfect situation before he will give you a spouse. But ultimately understand that that's the target. That's where God wants you to get to. A point where you are not seeking your own, but you are seeking the one, the glory of the one that sent you. In this case, you have captured something that even when you deal with the reality of it, it doesn't mean that you have stopped having emotions. Your emotions are there. But it's just like sometimes when God has dealt with you as a human being, even when you see in your journey, when you see even something that looks like an opportunity, something inside of you could jump, something inside of you are checking that I don't want to. It doesn't mean that God hates your excitement, but you are generally just checking. God, I bet, particularly when you have gone through a path where you almost look like it and they've crushed it many times, God has cut you short. You know, make I not even too day excited, make I wait first. I don't know what God, what this one is up to. But eventually it will train you to be in a place of carefulness. You will rot some level of prudence in your heart. Even our Father in efficiency, God works with prudence. Even in administering issues of, there's so much, in issues of redemption, there's so much care. And God wants you to have that capacity that is something should not just happen today now, you are just focused on only one thing. There's a bigger picture. There's a bigger picture. And that bigger picture, you must carry it. Just like a woman who is pregnant, he doesn't lose consciousness of the pregnancy now. Even when if he must go through a very close, very tiny space, she is very conscious of that because it has become a part of her frame. She's not just protecting herself. She's seeing that child as part of. So eventually, that becomes your priority.
I think my husband has said almost everything, but I just want to also say that, just as he said, in another way, when those feeling rises, you know, I understand the point you are talking about. We said we should focus on God, not be too conscious of marriage, but there are things that brings from time to time. It can even be as simple as you watch a film on the TV. You saw a couple, the way they are going, you know, different things. God, church, you know. Yeah, so because we have emotions, so they are here. So there's a way it just rise up. So, and like you said, your mind is going awry. So I think one of the things is also to be open to God. When those things comes, it's God that put the emotions there. So it's not that the person has done. Because I know that, as Mama was saying, that you may now make somebody to say, let me just suppress that emotion, I beg. Because I don't even know whether God will not even do anything to you. So that's the mindset that now, like, I may not really go into marriage. There's a way the mind just... But God does not want us to still do like that. Because he's the one that still put the emotions in us. But rather, when he comes strongly like that with different scenarios, situation, we can just be open to God. To open up, help me. See, I'm feeling this. I don't know whether it's time. I don't know, but help me. I think that sincerity of heart is also good. Because God will now use it, even in the midst of it. Maybe that's when it will check, you have lust here. Why you are so attracted here is that this guy is tall, six pass. And all that, or is rich, or because of the car, you know. But we should be hoping to God. it's not anything bad, but we should open to God, and God knows how to touch those areas.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Okay. We have one more question here, but it's like 3-in-1. Okay. So it says, regarding working on our weaknesses, habit-wise, such as not being tidy, selfishness, lateness, how do we address the mindset that believes that my husband will help me when I marry? I cannot come and kill myself. When he marry me, he's built for my dark days. He will handle it. The other part of it says, and does believing in making efforts to work on weakness and bad habits before marriage make a sister overly self-dependent? For example, maybe a sister that you told her she's too relaxed. You need to be up and doing. And she's now everywhere. You now call her, why are you a boss lady? You want to be bossing over everybody. Is that not making her look as if she's self-dependent because she's trying to work on an habit? So the last part of it says, how does a lady who has built different capacities through different challenges of life still be seen as being feminine and not some sort of threat or strong to their potential husband? Maybe she's doing well in her career. You know, she has some skills. She knows how to talk. How are the brothers not going to see her as a threat when we get married?
Praise the Lord. Okay. So, one of the things I would say, basic things, God sets even the solitary in families. And God puts us in situations where we can adjust and change. One of the things, even our natural life, God can, in his sovereignty, put you under a boss who will deal with your weakness, like being always late for work, that a boss that will not tolerate it. Let me tell you something. Every capacity that you develop, whether outside or all of that, that God knows how to train you so that you can truly be well-rounded for his purposes. Some of the diligence that people learn to put into their work, eventually those diligence, they will use it to be able to, if you are faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in bigger things, right? So, in the sense of being, if you have weakness, don't take it that it's your husband that will do. That's why, if you are in a community, your weaknesses will show, right? They will not condemn you, but don't run away from the community because you don't want people to see your weakness. And when people see your weakness, it gives you a burden to deal with your weakness, particularly those ones that have to do with you making some specific adjustment. Maybe your weakness is about sleep. You sleep too much, for instance. When you now have, you'll be in an environment where they will give you, God can just move your leader either in church or even at work. They'll just be giving you deadlines and you have to work hard at it. I'm just saying, it could be where it could be. But don't believe that because in marriage that you're going to deal with that. Let me tell you something. There's something that I was told some years ago about what they do in military training. They say at some point they train them with a lot of military exercise, train them to run, train them to do a lot of things, run and run. After a while, they will give them like a 50 kg bag and tell them to learn to run with it. So don't think that the capacity you have not built, you will just, when you get to marriage, you will just be able to use. It will be an undoing for you not to have taken advantage to have built capacity, because it's like you are carrying more weight when you get into a marriage relationship, right? Because it's like a soldier. Why are they training a soldier to learn to carry weight? There will be times where he will have a wounded soldier, a wounded colleague, and he has to run with that colleague to safety where the helicopter will come and take them, right? So God trains us in every way so that we can develop capacity, not just for ourselves alone, but for others. So if God puts in an opportunity where you need to develop your capacity, don't shy away from it. Do you understand? You might be very strict. You might be wondering. Sometimes God might put in a situation where you are doing so much. I know some brethren would prefer to be in a place where you work in a place where when you just do small work in the morning, you have all the time to listen to message. It might be a phase of your life. Another phase of your life will come where it's back to back. You don't even have time. But in the midst of that, you have fellowship with God, and you may be doing all of those physical, you are so engaged, whereas there's fellowship going on in your heart. So you need to know that God is not looking for weaklings, and God will train you to gain capacity to be strong, to be capable of doing the things you need to do. Because you have developed a lot of capacities in the form of growth. truth of the matter is that if God is really involved in your training, He will break you. You will learn how to see God through your dealing. Even when you have as having nothing, even though you have built so much, because one of the things that makes people so full of themselves is that they develop a state where they not only build abilities, but they build advantage for themselves, and they build a personality around their. So they work. If you are in a situation where you work so hard, and you can be so successful with your resources, and God puts a lot of demand on your finances at every point in time, that you now know that the money you are working is not for you. Even though you can be so successful, it will deal with something inside of you. The attachment and the sense of control, because money gives you a sense of control. And one of the things that ladies, today's world is a good world, but economic power gives some level of independence and control, because you can buy what you want, you can do everything, you do all of that. But if God puts you in a position where, in a street where you have all that money, but you cannot spend it, and He puts you in a place, that might be the dealing by which God wants to deal with an area of your life. Let's not take pride in being, I'm a capable and independent woman. You can be capable and yet broken. Brokenness is critical. And sometimes God takes you through a moment of brokenness so that you will not see your strength, even though you have strength. You have strength, but you don't see it. Other people will see it. But if your strength is in the face of everybody, and the way you talk is your strength that you're exuding, then it's not because it's bad. You're not bad to be strong or to be capable. But something needs to also give way in your perception about your strength. You can be capable, but your perception of that capability might be an undoing to grace work. And it will shut you away from God opening doors or opening people's heart to you. So if God has raised you or based on your training or everything, and let's even tell ourselves the truth. In today's world, some females have a unique advantage in some environment, because some bosses can just, not for anything, just take them, like them, just develop them, and they will develop so much capacity in them. It's good, right? So I believe that all of those things was going to serve a kingdom purpose. But in the midst of that, you will not use the wisdom that the world uses to ride your own life. You will need, people can be at that. You can have all of those things. You can have all of those estates, yet you are so submitted. In a local church, God might say, go and serve in sanitation. And the person who is the head of that sanitation doesn't have the degree that you have. Meanwhile, you are executive director in your company. But all those things, God is used to work brokenness inside of you. I don't think you will come out beautiful. Nobody will see that boss lady in you. You will smell like the lamb, like someone just said. Now, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I think there's a second one. The second question. I hope I didn't miss the second question. Is the second question, is it answered or we have not answered it?
How the brothers will not see such a sister as a threat or strong?
No, so brothers, in your brokenness, you acknowledge what God has given as a gift. That does not mean, like I said, accomplishment does not mean anything. There are opportunities that God has given. I met someone who said that whatever God gave my wife, He gave it to all of us. I met someone who even said, God even gave my wife this blessing because of me. That is the understanding that he has. And his heart is at peace. Because he's going to be involved in spending that money. Not because he's going to be irresponsible, but he sees himself that it's not that he's irresponsible. He's committed. Sometimes in some cases, God, you can have a man who has a capacity to break grounds, make money, do this. You can have a man who now is more involved in the planning and be sure that resources are more well channeled and managed effectively. Hallelujah. I hope that is fine.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, Mark. And we appreciate them for me so much. That's a lot of wisdom. I saw a lot of wisdom. Can we be on our feet and appreciate God's servant? Thank you, sir. Shegun, sir. You are so blessed. So blessed. Sir, thank you so much. And please, Emmy, that was a wonderful section. That was a wonderful. I was just telling Pastor Dayo that Pastor Ken and his wife, they are beautiful pastors. I just, those are pastoral. It's too subtle for you to just, I can never answer a question like that. I know myself. I know I don't deceive myself. I know myself. That was a very, treating and arranging the thoughts. And even if you don't have, you need to be intelligent to understand everything they have taught. Have you been so blessed? Things of this world, if you puff us up, it's because we have not followed the path of brokenness. Truly, the Lord blesses us with things. Bible told us in the book of Genesis, letting that glory is not glory in his riches, in his wisdom. If truly you should glory that you know and understand that God. Is to know and to both what know and understand, Jeremiah. And so in the path of understanding, we show you something. Understanding will tell you that what you have is nothing. That's what understanding of God brings to the heart. You will know that I don't have anything. Bible says, do you have anything you have not received? Because you receive it, there's a way that understanding just give a conversation that you're going to generate. So nobody that understand God and it's the Lord that have led you that you are going to be a boss lady or a boss lady or a boss madam or any of those odd things. Those are language of and manner of life of he that has not been led. If truly the Lord lead you in as we have been into this capacity, the Lord was dealing with you, you won't be like that. Oftentimes, the most people that have enjoyed God's grace in capacity, they are the ones that become more meek because they know they didn't do it by their power. They didn't do it by their strength. They know they enjoy mercy consistently. That doesn't mean they are lazy. But they know that because there are other people that are even more smarter than you that could not have even. But you know, they were just like what Ecclesiastes said, time and chances happen to them. Or you know that you enjoy time and chances, like Pastor was saying. Time and chances. And some people never have the kind of chances. If they have also have the same chances, they will even be like you too. So you just understand the place of mercy in the whole arrangement. And so you will not glory or take advantage of those things. A big amen. And so because of that, people, if you are like that, you are going to be difficult. You are going to say, what are you doing? You don't work hard. You know? So those are, but it's not like that when someone has gone through, he sends God's mercy upon his life. Thank you so much, Ma. Thank you so much. Can you appreciate them for me once again?
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyosiyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.